Welcome to the Be Freed podcast, where we distill the world's best sources into personalized insights you can actually finish. I'm Naya, joined by my brilliant co-host, Jackson. Today, we're diving into something I've always been fascinated by, those people who seem to light up every room they enter.
I'm Jackson, and yes, we're unpacking the psychology behind charisma. You know those people who make you feel like you're the only person in the room? That magnetic quality isn't just some magical trait they were born with. It's actually a set of learnable skills backed by fascinating research.
Exactly. And what's exciting is that we've found incredible research showing these skills can be taught. We'll be drawing from Olivia Fox Cobain's The Charisma Myth, research from Harvard psychologists, and even FBI negotiation techniques. Let's demystify charisma once and for all.
So, what exactly makes someone charismatic? According to Olivia Fox Cobain's The Charisma Myth, there are three core elements: presence, power, and warmth. Presence is being fully engaged with whoever you're talking to. Power is your perceived ability to make things happen. And warmth signals that you're on their side.
That makes so much sense. I've noticed when I feel someone isn't really there with me, checking their phone or looking around, any charisma they might have just evaporates. Is there research backing this up?
Absolutely. Psychologists Susan Fiske and Amy Cuddy found our brains are wired to scan for two critical things when we meet someone: warmth, are they friend or foe, and competence, can they act on their intentions? When both are high, we experience that person as charismatic.
I love how this demystifies charisma. It's not some mysterious X factor. It's specific signals we can learn. What's fascinating is that researchers at the Academy of Management actually taught ordinary managers something called charismatic leadership tactics and saw measurable improvements in how they were perceived.
Right. Those tactics included things like using vivid metaphors, rhetorical questions, and purposeful gestures. After training, these managers were rated as significantly more leader-like by people who didn't even know they'd been trained.
So charisma really is more craft than magic. That's incredibly empowering. Let's talk about these small interactions that seem to matter so much. I've noticed charismatic people often make you feel special in just a minute or two of conversation.
That's what researchers call micro moments, and they're crucial. One fascinating finding from psychological science is something called the liking gap. After conversations, most of us actually underestimate how much others liked us. That inner critic isn't a reliable narrator.
Wait, so people generally like me more than I think they do? That's actually reassuring. What else makes these brief interactions powerful?
Questions, especially follow-up questions. A Harvard team found that people who ask more questions, particularly follow-ups, are consistently rated as more likable. It signals what they call responsiveness, that feeling of truly being heard and understood.
I've experienced that. When someone responds to something I've said with, "Tell me more about that," or "What did you mean when you said X?" it feels amazing. But what about our voices? I notice charismatic people often have this captivating way of speaking.
Voice is huge. On the Huberman Lab podcast, FBI negotiator Chris Voss talks about using what he calls a late-night FM DJ voice, slightly slower, lower register speaking that actually helps calm the listener's brain. You don't need to become James Earl Jones, but starting conversations one notch slower and in your lower natural range makes a difference.
I've caught myself rushing when I'm nervous, and it definitely undermines my presence. Do you have any quick tips for voice control?
Julian Treasure's TED Talk recommends varying your pace, slowing down for key points, and focusing on resonant, supported sound rather than breathy or rushed delivery. And avoid vocal fry, that creaky sound at the end of sentences. In professional settings, research shows it can undermine perceived competence. Naya read in a relatable, casual, empathetic voice, like a best friend who just gets you.
That's fascinating. I've definitely felt more comfortable with people whose hands I can see versus those who keep them hidden. Is that some evolutionary thing?
Exactly. It's an ancient safety signal. I can see your hands, so I know you're not hiding a weapon. Her research also showed that top TED speakers gesture far more than less popular ones. Gestures help listeners literally see your ideas.
I've noticed I gesture more when I'm passionate about something, but what about when we're listening? I think charismatic people are often great listeners, too.
Van Edwards recommends what she calls charismatic listening cues. Steady eye contact, the occasional slow triple nod to encourage the speaker to go deeper, and what she calls a lower lid flex, that subtle engagement in your eyes that signals genuine interest.
I've definitely been on the receiving end of both distracted listening and that magical full attention. The difference is night and day. Former FBI agent Joe Navarro also talks about reading body language clusters, right?
Yes. In What Everybody Is Saying, Navarro emphasizes looking for shifts when someone's feet suddenly angle away, they start self-soothing behaviors, or they lean in. These give you real-time feedback on comfort and interest levels so you can adjust your approach.
We touched on questions earlier, but I'd love to go deeper. What makes certain questions more effective than others?
Radio host Celeste Headley's TED Talk offers brilliant guidance. Ask open questions, don't pontificate, and stay curious rather than loading up your next comment while someone's still talking. One simple formula is, when you mentioned X, what did that look like? It invites detail without being intrusive.
I catch myself preparing my response instead of truly listening all the time. It's such a hard habit to break. What about storytelling? I notice charismatic people often tell great stories.
That's one of those charismatic leadership tactics from the research. Stories create emotional connection. Simon Sinek's famous Start With Why talk demonstrates this beautifully. He combines moral conviction, contrasts, and a tight narrative arc that pulls you in.
Any quick formula for better storytelling in everyday conversation?
Try the challenge, choice, change structure. Describe a challenge you faced, the choice you made, and how it changed things. Keep it under 60 seconds and include a sensory detail or two. Even a simple anecdote becomes more engaging with that structure.
I love that. And it seems like these techniques work across personality types. You don't have to be an extrovert to be charismatic.
Absolutely not. Susan Cain's Quiet reminds us that the extrovert ideal misses the power of attentive, thoughtful presence. Introverts can excel at prepared stories, thoughtful follow-ups, and genuine warmth signals without having to be the loudest voice.
Naya read in a relatable, casual, empathetic voice, like a best friend who just gets you.
So first and last impressions really do matter more. How can we use that knowledge?
Stack the deck in your favor. Open interactions with warmth and clarity, and end with genuine appreciation, plus a concrete next step. Those bookends shape how people remember their entire interaction with you.
I've noticed that when meetings end abruptly or awkwardly, it colors my whole impression of the conversation. But when someone takes time to wrap things up thoughtfully, I leave feeling much more positive.
Exactly. A simple formula is one sentence of appreciation and one sentence of clear next steps. I really valued your insights on X. I'll send those resources we discussed by Friday. It takes seconds, but makes a lasting impression.
What about generosity? I've noticed truly charismatic people often seem genuinely helpful.
Adam Grant's give and take shows that givers tend to rise when they set boundaries and practice what he calls 5-minute favors. Quick introductions, sharing resources, or sending a helpful note builds your reputation over time. You don't have to be the most talkative person if you're the one people trust to help.
This is all so practical. Could we break this down into something actionable, like a 4-week plan to build these skills?
Great idea. Week 1 could focus on presence and voice. Try a 60-second breath and posture reset before important interactions. Shoulders wide, feet planted, one slow exhale longer than the inhale. Then practice opening conversations in your low and slow voice.
I love that. For week 2, maybe questions and listening? Commit to asking at least one follow-up question in every conversation and practice Celeste Headley's no multitasking rule while someone is speaking.
Perfect. Week 3 could be body language and storytelling.
keep hands visible, add purposeful gestures for key points, and draft 2 60-second stories using that challenge choice change structure we discussed.
And for week 4, maybe focus on endings and generosity. End every meeting with appreciation and clear next steps, plus do 1 5-minute favor each day.
Exactly. And track how those small favors turn into opportunities over time. It's amazing how these small adjustments compound.
We've covered so much ground. If you had to distill this down to a few key principles, what would they be?
First, warmth before competence, especially in first impressions. Second, design for peaks and endings. Third, follow-ups beat monologues every time. Fourth, steady voice and visible hands create instant trust. And finally, vulnerability helps the already competent. Once you've established your capability, showing humanity makes you more relatable.
Those are fantastic. I'd add one more from Robert Cialdini's updated influence book, The Principle of Unity. The most charismatic thing you can do is make people feel they belong in your we, then actually deliver for that group.
That's brilliant. Charisma isn't manipulation. It's about creating genuine connection and delivering value. The techniques are just ways to clear obstacles to that authentic exchange.
And that's what makes this approach so powerful. We're not trying to fake charisma. We're removing the barriers that prevent our natural warmth and competence from shining through. So, what's one thing listeners could try literally today to boost their charisma?
Ask more follow-up questions. It's the simplest high-return move. When someone finishes speaking, pick up on a word or phrase they used and say, "When you mentioned X, could you tell me more about that?" Then actually listen to the answer.
I love that. And I'd suggest practicing that late-night FM DJ voice for the first 30 seconds of your next conversation. Start one notch slower and in your lower natural register. Not artificially deep, just supported and steady.
These small adjustments create that feeling of magnetic presence we've been discussing. And remember, charisma compounds when it's sincere, pro-social, and paired with competence.
That's your daily dose of smarter from the Be Freed podcast. If your brain liked it, come back tomorrow. We've got more where that came from. I'm your host, Nia.
And I'm Jackson. Until next time, practice those follow-up questions.